with your word. Plant me in your garden.
Hello, and welcome to the Wonder What podcast. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Rob. And
I forgot my line.
Yeah, and you got one job here, and you forgot your line.
I wasn't sure who was supposed to start this one, and so when the silence ensued, I thought, okay, I think that means it's me. So, sorry about that delay.
It's all right. So, we're not at the kitchen table anymore. We're at a dedicated table with all of our sound equipment sitting here. We're getting spiffy, but what are we doing here, Robbie? Why are we here? Why are we talking into these metal objects?
We're doing a actual special edition of our normal podcast. This is the Hurricane Michael.
The post-Hurricane Michael podcast.
Update edition.
Yes.
That's the succinct version of it.
P-H-M-P.
Ooh, good. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, I've got skills.
Yes, you do. Abbreviation skills.
That's right. Acronyms. Isn't that an acronym? No, that's...
Yeah. I think so.
Doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Everybody's tuned out by now.
Okay. So, yes, we're just here to try to create a little more normalcy for ourselves, maybe for everyone else, just kind of do an update. We honestly really don't know who all listens to the podcast. A couple people have come to us and said they listen to it. So, it's for locals.
I mean, I don't think we've had more than four people ever tell us that.
Probably not.
So, we know there's four of you out there.
And I think most are local, but there, in case there's a few that are not local, it may be... you know, a bit of an update for you too.
That's right. And so more than anything, what we're doing is just trying to kind of recap what's been going on, where we're at. Well, at's a superlative preposition there, but where we are, what we've done.
Sorry.
Hello, kitty.
The cat feels like
she should be part of the podcast.
Yes.
So in case you're not aware, I mean, most of the people that listen to this are local. So if you've been wondering why there's so much traffic lately,
oh my gosh,
or why everything that used to just take no time at all takes three times as long as it used to, there was a hurricane. We had a hurricane, a nearly Category 5 hurricane hit the Gulf Coast of unprecedented levels.
I think all the locals assume it was a Cat 5,
yeah,
because of the damage that we saw and it was insane, and I think we'll all maybe categorize our lives in pre and post.
Absolutely,
Hurricane Michael.
This town will never be the same. There will be a pre. There'll be old Panama City, and then there'll be the new post Michael Panama City. Because Panama City, if you were not aware of it, was literally wiped out.
It was devastated, and it's not like we haven't had hurricanes before and tornadoes.
We've had them
share
both.
Of both, and this was unlike anything we've ever had before.
It really
insane.
Was. It was, as I said, unprecedented, historic levels of not only hurricane force weather, but also the devastation, the catastrophic devastation that just goes on and on and on. Most people who come and visit or are seeing it for the first time, that's one of the things that they talk about the most, is that they feel like the scope of it is stunning. Nobody's prepared for the scope of it.
Yeah, and I've tried to describe it to other family members that don't live here. And some, like I have some family that live 2 hours north of New Orleans and had the effects of Katrina near them. They're like, oh, yeah, we know. And I'm like, no, I don't think you do.
Yeah, I don't think you do now.
And then someone described this hurricane to me, I thought made a lot more sense, where they said it's like a 40 to 50 mile wide tornado that basically went across Bay County. Because it's unbelievable, because normally a tornado will do, you know, just a whatever short
we'll
distance.
We'll do great catastrophic damage
but in
a limited scope, in a limited field of interaction with structures and stuff. But here you can drive and drive and drive, and from the Hathaway Bridge all the way to Port St. Joe, every street, every home, every business is affected
in some way.
In some way, and some just irreversibly.
I know, and I purposely have not actually been to every area just to save on the traffic out there. But I do work in town, so I've had to take a couple of detours just to get to Lynn Haven, just because traffic has been really bad, and so I've seen certain areas of Panama City, and every time I go, it's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming, the amount of devastation there.
It really is. So that was our lives. If you'd listened to the podcast before, one of the things we were all excited about was we were going to have a meeting called Light, where we were going to determine how it is we could be more effective in reaching out to the community at large and serving the world around us as a demonstration of Christ's love. And we scheduled that meeting on October 10th. And it turns out October 10th was a time when we certainly did discover new ways that we could reach out and serve our community more. And it certainly did succeed. One of the things we talked about is we were hoping to maybe expand our focus beyond a Sunday morning service. And it certainly has done that.
Oh,
so,
my goodness, yes.
Not the way we would have wanted it to be, but...
No, not at all. But it has created an incredible sense of community.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Not just within the church, but within the whole county. Strangers that you come across in any scenario, at the store or anywhere, you just want to ask, how you doing? How's your house fare? How's your job? You know, whatever. You just and everybody just opens up.
Immediately. That's the thing that's interesting, too, is that how immediately we are... open to connecting with other human beings, whereas those questions used to be just perfunctory, like, you know, how's it going? Oh, it's good, everything's fine, and you move on.
Back in your shell, and
that's what I would do. but in this scenario, when you're asking these things, you genuinely want to know how a person is, and a person genuinely has answers to give and to touch base with. So you feel it's odd how something as catastrophic as this also becomes so humanizing.
Very much so.
And that's been a beautiful byproduct.
It really has.
Of everything.
We also ask everyone's story, individual story. Did you stay? Did you go?
Yeah.
Why? Why did you do either one of those, you know, choose one of those scenarios? And everybody has a different reason, different scenario. And
I talked to some people who were telling me that they felt like Robbie and I went ahead and evacuated. As I was watching the storm come in, I was unnerved by it. And watching the projection, the intensification projection models, all of a sudden just skyrocketing on Monday. And
plus we had my parents in their 80s, and they also, Bay County did do, or at least the Panama City Beach, mandatory evacuations. And I'm like, okay, to me, that's good enough. I'm not going to be here in our house. That's what we were going to do, is just have our parents stay in our house with us. And then we're like, okay, they're 81 and 83, and we're going to stay in this house with mandatory evac. I don't think so. So,
no. And once you saw it was, you know, gaining momentum, I was already in my mind, of course, I kind of go to worst case scenario in these things anyway, but in my mind, I was already anticipating a high category 3, which I thought would be too much for them. And we had no idea, though. I don't think any of us had any idea that it was going to be. I've never seen a hurricane do what it did. No. Strengthen when it hit land. I've never seen that before
in
my
life. And we've done both. We have evacuated before when our kids were little during Opal. We stayed during Ivan or Dennis.
Yeah, we stayed through every other
one. Yeah. And I always was the person who wanted to stay. I kind of like seeing what happened. I want to be there to correct any damage. And when we did that once, I felt terrible because I was like, okay, Rob was up all
Dennis,
night
that was
long.
I think that was, no, that was Ivan. That was Ivan, yeah. I think. And it came in the nighttime, and that was rough.
Didn't sleep. And then we didn't have power for 3 days. So we're sweaty and bored at night.
So you don't get any rest. You don't sleep. And then you have all this work in front of you right afterwards. And that's what
you
I kept thinking about.
Tired.
That I'd rather sleep in a place where I've got power, I can get showers, and then come back refreshed and ready to hit it. Now, again, none of that would have mattered on this. The levels of damage and the amount of work to be done in front of this whole county is still astronomical.
It's incredible. So. And when we were in Jacksonville, like Rob said, and we were there 3 nights. So we were there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and even leaving Friday morning, we were trying to decide. We wanted to come home for sure, but we weren't sure if we were going to be allowed back in at home. But all of a sudden, the hotel was like, the rooms are all booked Friday. And we're like, okay, I guess we're
going
to
wing it
and see what we can do. But we had tried to come home during Opal and got stuck on Highway 231 and had to wait for hours before they opened it up. So we were hearing that people were starting to get to be allowed to come in. And so we did make it home on Friday afternoon.
But even that was a harrowing trip.
It was not an easy thing.
Should have been a 4.5 hour trip took us, 8 hours, roughly 8 hours. Had to fight through the traffic on 10, and they had opened 10 up, but there was still so much debris and stuff just on the sides of 10 that they clearly had just opened it when we went through.
Yes, the day before it was not open.
And then trying to get gas, I kept thinking, well, we'll go farther west and I can get gas before we go in. And I'm telling you, there was, we found one spot. Where were we? We were in Ponce de Leon and yes. we found gas and the lines were, it did feel apocalyptic at that point. Because somebody ran their car, somebody ran their truck into the gas station building. I don't know what, if it was frustration or what was going on there, but the whole thing just felt otherworldly at that moment.
It was. And it was all cash only at that time. They did have some working ATMs so people could get cash out if they needed to, but they couldn't run a credit card to pay for your gas or food at the station. People were getting ice because, you know, we knew we were probably going back into no power and things like that.
Yeah.
It was harrowing. And we're glad to be home. And we did fare pretty well. I mean, we got home and we had water. Immediately, we do live at the beach, which was the mandatory evacuation. And as most of you know, the storm shifted and went more into town. And so
the places, everybody evacuated to the areas where the storm hit the worst. And that was
so people were in homes where roofs were torn off and things like that. And that was,
I've heard a lot of amazing stories from people about what they experienced and went through in this storm. And I would say collectively, there's a lot that, you know, the whole town, the whole county, and beyond, it points eastward that we're just going to, it's going to take a long time even to recover emotionally and psychologically from this storm. It's been amazing. And then the weird thing of feeling suddenly cut off, like, you know, we were in the news for one day, the day that the storm hit, and then that was it. And after that, nobody's paid any attention.
Again, I talked to family on the West Coast and that area, and they're like, wait, it's not even in the news anymore. And we're like, well, it's in our local news, but yes, I know it's not in the national news, but try to just go to YouTube. And honestly, people's personal videos are so much more telling of the actual hurricane and the aftermath. That tells you a lot more than anything on the news. When we were in Jacksonville, we had the Weather Channel on 24 hours a day. We left it on all night long. We'd roll over, wake up, and look at the, see what's going on the Weather Channel. And, but even there, it didn't tell the story.
No. And you and I have both been to places like, we were South Sudan and of course to Haiti, and it gives you that same, even 30 days out from the storm, you still get that feel of a place that doesn't seem to even fit anymore in a modern world. There's so much that's the garbage piled up in the streets and the debris everywhere, and it's just amazing.
There's still quite a few offices and buildings that either may never open again or just have such extensive damage. It'll be months and months before they're able to be rebuilt and opened again. And like I said, my job, one of the jobs I have that's in town is in Lynn Haven. And we opened up, it's a medical office, and we opened up initially with a generator and a hotspot in the back door. Yeah. The front door, we couldn't even open the front door. The floor had gotten swollen from the rain or something. And so we did that. We were very grateful to have electricity. We have that now, but even a month after, we have no phones and internet in Lynn Haven. And my bosses and good friends pretty much lost the use of their home in Lynn Haven. Half of it's just crushed and open to the elements, and there's just a lot of it. Just, you could go on and on.
You could. I mean, we could spend the entire podcast just talking about those kinds of things, but that just gives a taste of what it's like post Michael in Panama City.
Just another passing feeling, like dirt on my hands. Just another joke revealing, sealing my fate as a wandering man. I tried to see, but I could not see. I tried to wait, but impatiently. And I tried to rise, but I could not rise at all. Who will rise for me?
So, what do we got going on in terms of Eastgate news? What's the state of things?
Well, actually, when I first started thinking about this podcast, I thought about saying, actually, everything's just all canceled. And it was for a little while, but really, little by little, things are starting to come back.
Yeah. We're not back in our building yet.
Well, there is that.
There is that.
How many times have we met outside?
Four times. We're going to be coming up on our fifth Sunday, having to meet out in the courtyard. And so far, the weather has been cooperative. It's going to be chilly this Sunday. That's an unfortunate thing. But
it was supposed to be chilly last week, too, and the sun came out. Yeah. Ended up making it very nice.
And I think that the potential exists for the sun to be out this time around. The high is going to be 68. Wear a sweater, wear a jacket or something, and the sunshine... And bring a flashlight because potentially we won't have any power in any of the units. That's still one of those things we're trying to figure out. The electricians. 2 weeks. I've been assured that 2 weeks.
You've never seen Money Pit. You'll know what we're talking about.
4 weeks ago, they told me that they were waiting on parts and just earlier.
And they said they had to drive down to Tampa to get it, which made sense to us when they first said it. And then we started talking to people who know things. And they're like, you can get anything you need within 24 hours here in Bay County, even with the hurricane having just happened. We went, oh, well, we didn't know. So they said they had to go to Tampa to get parts, and we didn't see them for 2 weeks, but they did park their van in front of the whole mall. So
picked up a lot of extra jobs. Whatever. We're not bitter. It would just be nice to be able to meet inside of our building, but we're not. And so this Sunday, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to have more just of a family day. We're going to spend some time in worship and prayer for each other, and then we're going to have kind of just a family, like a little potluck and face painting and games for the kids and hot chocolate and just a day to hang out and fellowship and be thankful.
Yeah, and it's funny how these things work out, because before the hurricane came around, we had talked about doing October Gate, I think we called it, the last Sunday in October instead of a surf and grill, although we had talked about trying to do one more surf and grill too. We were going to do a... face painting and bobbing for apples.
Basically this. I don't think we were going to do bobbing for apples. Remember? Everybody was disgusted by that idea.
Not everyone. I thought it was cool.
Anyway.
But anyway, something like that. But we almost did that a couple weeks ago, but then we're like, we're all too tired. We can't gather up our strength to do that. So now we're a little more rested. We're a little bit further behind further away from the hurricane. And so we feel like we can tackle it this week.
And since we've been having our courtyard meetings, we've been having one service at 10 o'clock, and we've decided that in 2 weeks, when the electricity's done and we get back in the building, we're going to stay at one service. We're going to just keep sticking together like a family, and it's been very positive. It's been a really good experience all the way around.
Really bonding.
Yeah.
And also the unfortunate side effect of the hurricane is several people have moved on.
Yeah.
They've had to leave the area. We lost two staff members almost immediately.
Yeah.
Ourselves and we think maybe we can fit in one room. We had talked about doing that for a while, but the numbers never quite added up to where we could fit in one service. And so now even if it's close, we might have to just tell people to bring, a camping chair or whatever, a folding chair.
We'll figure it out. I don't think it's going to be that, because the kids will be back. It'll be fine. We will figure it out. And I think it's going to be a great thing. Absolutely. I think it's important for us all to be able to stick together and be a community together. And
yes. So small groups, in terms of small groups, the men's meeting did start back up again on Monday nights. One thing the electricians did do for a little while was hook up temporary power, which basically means 110 power. And it was running in the coffee house area. So we had some lights through that area, which was nice for the bathrooms, to have a light in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And we couldn't use our coffee maker because they're 220, but we brought little mini units. And so some of the small groups started meeting again in that area.
So yeah, the men's group meeting was happening. Misty's dance classes are happening.
Some of the violin classes were going to. I don't know if they ended up happening, but they've considered it. But then we got a word today that they might have to cut that temporary power off to finish doing all the wiring. So we may or may not have that on Sunday. Who knows? It changes by the minute.
It does change by the minute. So we'll see. We'll keep everybody posted. Bring a flashlight on Sunday if you come to the 10 o'clock service, just in case you need to use the bathroom.
That's right.
We've got another small group that is just starting.
Oh, right.
Allison Harpool has started a group called Moms at the Beach. And you can find that on Facebook. She posted a link in the Facebook, the Eastgate Facebook page, the group page. And it's just kind of a time for moms to get together, spend some time just hanging out, getting to know each other, play dates, things like that. So if you're a mom, you're at the beach. I don't think it's limited to the beach either. I think it's just
anybody,
just saying,
and it's not limited to East Cape members.
No,
either.
Not
of course,
at all.
Anybody is welcome to join.
So if you're a mom, you want to try to make friends with other moms or get to know some people or just have those kind of connections, which are important. We need those, as, mm-hmm. especially nowadays. So
yes.
So just wanted to, you to be aware of that new group that has started.
Yes, that's really awesome.
Any other news in the church? You know, we've really gotten to know a lot of other churches in the area. Been able to cooperate with Catalyst Church on 39 Day. With North Star and Roy Mansfield. We've been connected with him quite a bit during the immediate crisis following the storm. Mm-hmm. If you're not aware of it, when we got back into town that day. Our first semi-load of emergency supplies of water and blankets and food, canned foods, showed up. Just strange happenstance how we got connected with the various groups that were bringing these in. It was a group out of Mobile. It was Wright Transportation. Had, I believe it's owned by a Christian individual.
It's just a benevolent individual.
And he put the word out in Mobile, and they filled up 2 semi-loads full of supplies. So the first semi-load got there. Of course, we didn't have a forklift or anything. So all of these volunteers,
people.
And I mean, we had so many, Timmy and Quinn and Tyler and Stan LeCain and Witt and Daniel and Melissa Woodrum and Thomas McNulty and
Zam
and Zam
and
Cole. So many people. We just jumped in and like human forklifts. We just started hauling water and we first let people know that we had supplies there at Eastgate, and then we realized the people who really needed those supplies were not going to be in a position to get out to the beach to get them. So then we just started loading up pickup trucks and minivans and cars, whatever we could, and waded into that traffic and drove into the places where we saw the worst of the devastation in Springfield and Parker, into the projects, and just tried to get supplies. So we moved a total of about 6 semi-loads worth of emergency supplies during those first 2 weeks after the storm. It was
through manpower alone.
Just through manpower, and we were in such cooperation with the churches and then church groups. Calvary Chapel just came through beautifully.
They were awesome.
Brought supplies over, and then they kept they'd send teams over with chainsaws. Mm-hmm. We put them up in the building, and they would go out and all day long just go to various addresses that Janelle was collecting. She did a bang-up job of organizing everything. In terms of coordinating those efforts, I'll tell you, she was a rock star when it came to that.
And she actually stayed in Jacksonville for about a week after the hurricane. She'd evacuated as well. Matt came back a little earlier, but she stayed there where there was power, internet, and she was just
rocking it. She
so
just,
much.
Yeah. And
also, of course, the Hands and Feet guys, Dan Stevens.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They got in there. They were amazing. Dan Stevens and Troy Drury and...
The gang.
There's other guys involved in that. John Kittler was instrumental in that. But yeah, they did a lot of great stuff, tarping roofs, and I mean, just constantly going. And now I think they're kind of shifting the focus over to Woodlawn Methodist has a team here from the Methodist Church that's, you know, pretty
active.
Yeah, really well organized. So rather than reinvent the wheel, we're just going to see to it that the needs get kind of pointed towards them.
Absolutely. And also, if we forgot to mention you, we're sorry. There were so many people that helped. We thank all of you. And God knows, we may not remember every single name. We're so sorry.
Yes, that's right. That's why we're not in charge of the Book of Life, because we'd forget all kinds of people.
Don't count on us.
We'd make sure we were there. Oops, sorry. So anyway, we've been, and it's a fascinating thing to even watch the progression of this. So many more supplies and organizations came in. And now it gets a little more confusing as to figuring out how we continue on, you know, how we move forward. We're kind of trying to look at a mode of operation that we can do that is going to be sustainable for the long haul.
And it is an incredibly evolving scenario and situation. When we were in Jacksonville, we had been told that Lynn Haven, for example, was so badly hit that it could easily be 2 months before they ever got electricity and power again. Well, within less than a week?
Well, no, it was about a week or
about
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 weeks even. But it was way less time than they originally.
Much.
And that was amazing. I'll tell you, in the Eastgate parking lot, all the power trucks were staging, and they would roll out in the mornings. Thing. Yeah, like in military precision. It was. Yeah, I kept wanting to stand there and salute as they were going by.
Yeah, all loaded up there super early in the morning. We were keeping hours at the Eastgate building like we've never done before.
Yeah,
where we were there seven to
the daylight,
seven.
The daybreak to day.
Yeah, dusk to dawn.
Yeah,
there we go. and we'd see them line up and go out one by one and get. Basically deployed to different areas of Bay County, and little by little the power came back. We ourselves actually
got power
within a day of being home, and when we got power we got internet, because our internet's underground, it's a fiber optic underground, so we kept telling people, listen, you come to our house, you
we know, just we left have the doors
a,
unlocked
we have a cafe we, internet cafe
we did
our
for
house.
A little while we had so many different people coming in for that, and
several
other people coming in for showers or
for home from like work from home would be working at our house during the day, or they'd be doing laundry or doing showers, or we just again just had so much that we were had been given that we felt like
that we could give back or to help, you know, to use to assist people with.
It enabled us to be able to give.
But it was great. It was good to you know, just to interact with various churches, various Calvary chapels. It was,
so many. And if you're not aware, there's many Calvary chapels in the area. Well, not like very close, very many, very close, but they came from Destin. They came from Merritt Island. It was just really awesome.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And that was a very encouraging thing to see. In fact, watching all the churches here locally was inspiring. Just almost every single church, like ourselves, were affected in some way, a lot of them out of their buildings altogether. And yet every church parking lot that I could see had tents set up or food distribution points or some way
that.
In which the churches were serving the community. And didn't you say that somebody was saying to you?
Yeah, actually a patient at work the other day, yesterday had said to me, we were talking about the storm again, we were bonding over what they'd gone through, what we'd gone through and all that. And he was saying how, he goes, one thing I really was surprised about and was glad to see during this hurricane. And I said, oh yeah, what's that? And he goes, just the way the churches reached out and helped so many people. And I was so glad. He didn't know I was a pastor's wife, and I wasn't about to tell him either. I didn't want him to change what he was going to say for my sake. But he just said, I just thought that was really great to see the way churches helped. And I said, yes. And did you notice how many of these churches had been hit themselves, and yet they didn't even look back? They just were reaching out and helping. And
it's such a picture of what the church could be. I was talking to the pastor at Catalyst, Zach, just saying that that's one of my prayers, is that when, you know, we get a year removed from this whole thing, it'll be easy to slide back into old patterns. But what I'd really love to do is to just stay in this mode of cooperation. And
we're in this game together.
And recognizing what the real thing, you know, it's not about the politics that divide us or the differences of doctrine or procedure or any of that. It's about this rescue mission. It's, you know, if
that's
we could
right.
recognize that that's what it's all about, I think we would do well. And everybody is in agreement with that right now. So
yes, and
you never know.
Speaking of that, politics was the last thing on everybody's mind during this time.
Yeah.
It never came up once. We're just like, do you need food? Do you need water?
Right.
Do you need a tree moved? What can we do? And that was just seemed like so ancillary.
Yeah. All the things that used to dominate our thinking and conversation before was moved aside. So, you know, those were good lessons, good things that came, the cooperation, the
and
beautiful
I think
things.
Still happening.
I do
in
too.
A lot of ways.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a beautiful thing. And you never know. Maybe that's one of the post Michael Panama City characteristics that will linger on, is the way the churches all love
awesome.
Each other and work together for the mission of the kingdom.
The other thing too, you talked about how we kind of became a hub for churches
or is churches to be able to
not just
bring
churches,
supplies.
Yeah, but then we don't exactly know how, but somehow we got an A-list, and other organizations started showing up with supplies, and we welcomed everybody that came in and let them use our building, and basically just gave them a key to sleep there at night. And we had some interesting characters.
We did. We met some interesting cats that, you know, just
kind of like Cousin Eddie.
Well, no. I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, okay. Well, I said it then.
But it was, we were all on the same page in terms of the mission at hand and stuff. But it was curious, some of the things that you'd see, and just there was a, you know.
Well, there was one time when we had so much bottled water everywhere, and I'm kind of OCD, and it was freaking me out that there were these bottles like with a third of a thing of water left in each bottle. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. And I hated to open a new bottle. So I did this at home anyway, but I did it there. And I started thinking, maybe this isn't a great idea, but I'd go around to any bottle that looked like it'd been abandoned and I'd just finish it up and then throw it away after it was empty. And I looked at one of those guys from one of the churches that we're visiting. And I said, hope nobody's a germaphobe around here, but I'm just going around finishing up all these bottles. And I guess if any one of us is sick, maybe we're all going to be sick soon. And I thought it was funny.
I think it's funny.
And he didn't laugh. He said, I'm not receiving any of that illness.
It was a beautiful. It was just,
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's just a quick little flashback to the days in the crazy church. But yeah, I felt like at the time I didn't care about their craziness.
That's true.
It didn't matter to me. I was happy enough to have the help and the supplies, and I can roll with that. I don't care. I don't have to receive that guy's illnesses either, or whatever. I don't have to confess illness over him.
On a side note, I don't think any of us got sick, although we were dog tired.
Man, weren't we tired?
At the end of the day, but we never slept so well.
I'll tell you, that was, you know, we're just now probably getting back into our normal sleep patterns, but that certainly was part of it.
I know, and you know, we talk a lot of times on the podcast about what we've been watching and that kind of thing. We've just now started watching any TV again. We, at 8 o'clock at night, we'd sit in the front room and
the TV wouldn't
even come on. We didn't want it on. We'd have so much, sensory input, and we were so physically exhausted. We look at each other and say, you ready to go to bed now? And we would go to bed so early.
We would.
We were exhausted.
And I'm still getting up pretty early, though. I still get up a lot earlier than I used to.
Yes.
So so that was that. There has been some other news in the churches. One thing that is near to my heart is that shortly after the storm, Eugene Peterson passed away, and he's the author of the Message Bible. He's written a lot of books. I've read a good number of his books. One of the authors that I really cherish a lot. His book called Eat This Book was pivotal in my understanding of how we approach scripture and how it was written for us. And his other book, more of a pastoral book called Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It was a melancholy moment. I'm happy for him, obviously. And he had just recently retired, but I'm stoked for him in that he's reaping a reward of eternal life. And that's a wonderful thing, but we will miss Eugene Peterson. I'm very appreciative of everything he gave to the church.
Yes, and I heard you listening to a podcast or a web.
They did a live cast of his memorial service. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was quite moving.
That's awesome.
It was a beautiful service.
That's a cool thing you can share in nowadays that you used to not be able to be a part of unless you were there live.
That's true. Well, as we said before, this is going to be a shortened version of our podcast, but I did want to touch on, it's kind of under the topic of That's Not a Thing. On That's Not a Thing, we like to look at misquoted Bible verses or concepts that we need to address or think through a little more carefully.
Sure.
And one thing that has been on my mind is that I have noticed that people have struggled with how to express something, especially if they came through the storm with little or no damage. I was talking with somebody just last Sunday who was saying, you know, I came through the storm really well. He goes, I guess God blessed me. And he goes, but I don't know. Cause I said, I'm pretty sure they were praying just as faithfully on the other side of the bridge or sincerely. And I was saying to him, and that is the thing, we've got to be careful that we don't just come off saying, you know, hey, God blessed me. I didn't get anything touched or nothing damaged that badly. You can be thankful for that, but it's nothing wrong with acknowledging that there's a sense of fortune in this. I mean, you were fortunate. I was fortunate. You and I were fortunate in this, and some were less fortunate. Kim and Chris Ripman were less fortunate in this. But in all of this, God's favor is still shown to us, whether we dodged the bullet or whether we got struck. we can still praise God. We can still thank God. Paul's talked about having learned the secret of having a lot or having very little. That contentment was the key in that, being able to find contentment.
That's right.
In what we have. And so I just think that it's not wrong to acknowledge and be thankful to God for good fortune, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean that we were somehow especially blessed while somebody else was being cursed.
Right, because for good behavior or bad behavior or something like that.
Exactly. That's one of the things. Jesus talked about how it rains on the just and the unjust, and he meant that in a positive light, but it's true on the flip side of that too. Hurricanes hit the just and the unjust. It's one of those things, mm-hmm. but we're what we can do is, if we look at it, you know, we don't want to walk around with a sense of guilt. Like, and I say that every time I talk about it, somebody said, how did you come through the storm? And I'm like, I came through embarrassingly well. It's,
right.
There's a sense of guilt. Like, all I got to do is replace a roof and my fencing and things like that. It's not mm-hmm. unlivable at all, but we don't want to do that. That's not helpful to anybody to experience that. So the better thing to do is to look at what resources we have and put them before God and say, okay, how can this be used to help others? How can this be used to glorify you? I'll be thankful for what I have by doing good with it.
And what is, I forget who came up with that phrase that said, what is that to thee, follow thou me?
That would be Jesus. He was talking to Peter in John's gospel.
I don't know why I associated it with like an old... Pentecostal person like Wigglesworth or Smith Wigglesworth or somebody like that.
That would be your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I knew it was a good quote from somebody important.
Who was talking to Peter, who was looking over at John wanting to know, because he was forecasting Peter's death, and he looked over at John and said, well, what's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, what's that to you? Your business is to follow me.
Right. And I think that follows suit, when I said it, but especially since Jesus said it, that whether you've had a lot of terrible things happen to you or a few terrible things happen to you, that no matter what is that to thee? Well, without me.
That's
right. Old King James. Sorry. That's how
but that's it. I mean, it's not that we look around at each other. Even we don't look at our own thing and try to compare it to somebody else.
Which is a very human temptation.
It's a very human temptation. Is what we want to do. It's kind of how we try to grasp for some sense of control of the thing. If we can measure right. ourselves, we can understand the situation and, mm-hmm. and begin to address it or fix it. And
I will say, everyone I know of and several very good friends have lost an awful lot, yeah. their entire homes or the use of their homes or whatever. And all of them have come back with some, at least one positive thing about it. Well, at least this happened, or at least, you know, look at the leaves are coming back out on my trees that I thought were all gone. Or, I mean, it's incredible.
It's amazing how the simple things, yes.
that they'll be so grateful for.
That's right.
And so, and that's God's in all those things.
That's right. And I believe that's what Paul was even trying to get at, that, you know, that godliness with contentment is great benefit. It's great gain, great mm-hmm. benefit to us in our sense of stability, in our grasp for our own humanity, to yes. be able to be content and find contentment, even when a storm comes and disrupts everything and turns it upside down. Mm-hmm. So,
and for those of us that haven't had as much damage, to be open-handed and
that's right.
giving to those who have needs.
That's right.
Speaking of that, I have a money minute.
Oh, well, here we go. Perfect segue. Look at you.
There we go.
It's like a professional podcast.
That. Thank you.
I'm kidding.
Oh, shoot. Okay. No, normally this is the time where I give some sort of money advice. And of course, there's a bunch of advice out there right now for all the Bay Countyans about don't get someone to do work on your house that's unlicensed or that's not a licensed contractor. So you already know that, so I'm not going to say it. What I'd like to say is that Eastgate has been given and donated a lot of money for Hurricane Michael. And in general, we don't do designated offerings because there's a lot of legal ramifications with that is very challenging to follow through as a church. So we just kind of have a general offering and don't usually have a lot of specific offerings. Some people do, some don't. But we did decide to do a very specific offering when Hurricane Michael came up. And so we've been given a good amount of money. People have sent money from all over the country to Eastgate to help those in need for Hurricane Michael. So we have dispersed a lot of those funds. We've
about half of them already.
Yes, over half of them. And we've I'm just going to give a quick breakdown on how we've done that. And eventually we'll have all the actual numbers, I think maybe on our website or somewhere. The smallest amount we did was we provided some hot meals for all those people that were unloading the semi trucks. We did a little. We had a little bit of money for that. We, when Janelle and Blake were both outside of Bay County, they came back in with tarps and canned goods and some food, and they used some of that Hurricane Michael funds to bring back to Bay County to give away to those in need. Then we took another bit of money and bought some gift cards and got some Publix gift cards, Visa gift cards, that kind of thing, for people that we came across as we knew. We also had
people who've lost their jobs or their income has been affected in some way, who aren't able to get the necessary things that they need. We're trying to step in there, bridge the gap a little bit for them.
Some cash. We did have some cash available because in the first week or two,
couple weeks,
their only cash was accepted everywhere, grocery stores, gas stations, everywhere. So we had cash available to help those in need, and we gave cash out to those we came across in need. And then the biggest chunks that we've had, that I've written checks out for, to individuals that we've come across, have been for people who've lost homes and lost their jobs and that kind of thing.
People who are displaced and
just need a little bridge to kind of help get from point A to point B.
And they're obviously, all, in each case, Rob, they're working on long-term solutions and stuff. But, you know, if we're able to get in there and help financially.
Yeah, it's a small amount. I mean, it's a small amount in that it's less than $10,000. Yeah. But it is a lot of money to me still, too. And for us to Eastgate to have in benevolence, we don't have anywhere near those kind of funds on an annual basis for benevolence. But I guess I just want to let people know that if you have a financial need, something that we can help you with, that we want you to email us and let us know. And we'll
do our best.
Do what we can. These are not up to just me or just Rob. We have a group of people, the board, basically. I present any need that comes up that's over $25 or $50, and you know, we kind of just pray over it and help meet the need as we can, as we're in agreement with it. But I
Kevin and Stephanie Barron are integral in that
decision
making process as well,
and we appreciate their input very much. So I want to open that up to you all, because we still have funds available to help you get through this, and people are very hesitant to ask, and we pretty much have to pry it out of people if you have a need. And that's what I've been doing on Sundays, trying to ask people where they are. So
So eastgatepcb@gmail.com.
Yes.
If you want to contact us and communicate something, we'll do what we can. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't make promises on a general...
And we have a limit, kind of, what we can do for each family, too. So I told Rob the other day, I'd love it if they gave me $1 million, because I would buy homes for everybody that lost their homes in the hurricane. That has not happened. So all we can do is help on a short-term, limited basis. But we can do that. And we want you to know that we love you. And we want to make these funds available to you if you could use them.
Right on.
You had something you wanted to share with everybody, however many are there.
The four of them.
Yes.
All four of you who are listening.
Something from Eugene Peterson's memorial service.
Yeah. And it's something you can find on YouTube, and I would recommend it. I mean, it's a very Presbyterian memorial service, but it's beautiful at the same time. There's something about it was so fitting. It was so fitting to who he was as a pastor, as a writer.
You mentioned his sons were in ministry. I didn't know that.
Yes, his oldest son is, and then his grandson is becoming a minister. But his one son wrote a poem that he read at the memorial, and I loved it. And so I would like to read that poem that he wrote, and it's called The Message.
That's awesome.
And it's by Leif Peterson. And he said, "It's almost laughable how you fooled them, how for 30 years, every week, you made them think you were saying something new. They thought you were a magician in your long black robe, hiding so much up your ample sleeves, always pulling something fresh and making them think it was just for them. And that was just the beginning. There's more. Casual conversation at church picnics, unmemorable chats at the local Denny's over eggs and toast, counseling sessions that saved marriages, maybe even lives. And they didn't know what a fraud you were. They didn't know how simple it all was. They were blind to your secret, only saw the magic, how you performed, how you made the mysterious, the ominous, the holy into a cup of coffee, how you made a cup of coffee into an act of grace, and how you could make God into something that worked for them. It's so funny that they didn't know this. So many times I wanted to expose you. Tell them what you've been up to. Tell them all what you've been up to, and now you're going to do it all again. You got this new group fooled into thinking you're worth millions. They're printing it on t-shirts, coffee mugs, message pads, a new version every week for some new flock. But I must say this, they've widened your audience. Now you're fooling them all over the world, churches, schools, homes, and prisons. It's so funny. Only my inheritance keeps me from giving you away. Because I know your secret. I alone know what you've been doing, how you fooled them all, taking something so simple, something a child could understand, and making it into a career, a vocation, an empire. I know. Because for 50 years, you've been telling me the secret. For 50 years, you steal into my room at night and whisper it softly to my sleeping head. It's the same message over and over, and you don't vary it one bit. God loves you. He's on your side. He's coming after you. He's relentless. And that's the message by Leif Pedersen.
I love it. That's awesome. I hate to even say anything.
It's a beautiful poem, and it's something to aspire to, I think. Something to look at and consider in our own lives. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have it boiled down to one message that we clearly communicated through all of our lives? Something to grasp for.
That's beautiful. Really awesome.
So I think that brings us to the end of our shortened post-Michael Hurricane podcast.
Here's to things getting back into somewhat of a routine.
Yeah. Podcasts and other things. Someday we'll be back in the building. Someday we'll finish up the Book of Romans.
It'll happen.
It will. It will happen. But until that time, this is us at Eastgate. We're learning how to love God. We're learning how to love others.
This is our story so far.
Talk to you next time. God bless you.
Intro music for the Wonder What podcast was written and performed by Matt Green from his album Songs. Additional music was written and performed by Brock Tyler, Dr. Turtle, and Audio Bringer from the Free Music Archive.
Thrill me with your word, plant me in your garden, surround me.